That's actually, I was just going to do it and not say anything.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, just do it and we'll just keep talking. Because it could be a funny thing, like how we liked our first podcast but didn't like any of the others.
Yeah, right. Right. that first podcast, for those listening, was phenomenal. Best ever. Just ask, the president.
Right. But yeah, so it's been, so I don't know, like the last two that we've tried have been a little canned, or felt a little canned. And
or artificial.
Or artificial, interviewee, like we've never interviewed each other, dear Lord.
No, and we don't want to. We know enough about each other and you people don't need to hear it. So, but just for formality's sake, my name is Reed.
And I'm Jonathan.
This is Totally That Stupid.
The podcast.
Trademark.
not our ball yet.
Right. No, and in fact, I was, just getting to what we always do before we got on. I was just poking around the classifieds just because that's what I do when I'm sitting in front of my computer and waiting to do something or waiting for a call or can't think of anything to do or procrastinating doing something. And I did start going down a little bit of a weird, like, memory lane thing. So I forwarded you that prelude.
And you sent me that one before though, right?
Yeah, I did.
You sent me that one. Yeah. When my car started unraveling, it looked like that car. look, there's a little bit of rust. Oh, look, the seats are getting a little crinkly. Yeah. And goddamn, that interior was gross. It was like, I'm not a clean freak, but damn.
Well, and like we've talked about before, I have gone back to that well and drank from it. And as great a car as an 85 Prelude was in 85, and even when I got mine in 91, fantastic car. Now it's slow.
Yeah, I have no interest. Yeah. I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole because, not shockingly for those listening at home, I do the same thing. Mm. I just get on my computer and start looking at dumb cars. I kind of started going down the cheap American convertible, old convertible route a little bit. And it was very little because I stumbled across, like, I don't know, it was a 68 Catalina convertible, like kind of baby bluish, tired black top, decent black interior. Guy never actually said it ran and drove, although he said it was all there and everything worked, but yeah. I don't know if that means it runs. It was like $8,000, and even like terrible ones are $8,000 now. But and then tonight I found that 89 Mark 7 LSC convertible completely.
That was sweet.
Right. So by the time you all at home hear this, I will have written about it, but we can talk about it now.
I've never seen a convertible Mark 7 before. I don't remember seeing like any ASC conversions or anything of those.
I don't remember either. And that was my question. Yeah. When I shot that over to you, it's like, it's a Mustang underneath.
Yeah.
I've never actually looked at, body dimensions or whatever, but it's got to be like Mustang parts in the conversion, I would think. Well,
the chassis is a Fox body chassis. Okay, it's right. A Fox chassis. They did do things with like air suspension and stuff in these cars. Because when I was writing about the Continental, I kept finding information out about LSCs because that was sort of the go-to car of the Continental series for that time.
Right.
Nobody really cared about the hunchback of wherever Lincolns are from.
Dearborn.
the hunchback of Dearborn. But the LSC was everywhere. And the motor is a slightly detuned, Mustang 5-liter, even, and all of the same bolt-on parts apply. You can put a Cobra intake on it and all that happy horseshit stuff, all that happy stuff. there's a lot apparently you can do underneath. It's all Mustangy.
Yeah. No, it doesn't surprise me. And that one's in really nice shape. It doesn't have a lot of miles. It's at a local Lincoln Mercury dealer, and it's the worst Craigslist. Honestly, it's like a real dealer, and it's part of a real dealer chain. But that ad was like the worst buy here, pay here lot ad. You know, it's nothing, literally nothing about the car. Like, here's the colors, here's the car, here's the miles, and here's all the standard equipment from 1989.
Right, yeah. Okay. So I just clicked through to the link. Mm-hmm. It's actually a real Lincoln dealer, which is
fabulous. Oh, it is. Yeah, no, it is.
And they want $13,000 for an 89 Mark 7 LSC. They say limited edition, and I'm sure it is, because again, I've never seen it.
I've never seen these one. Things.
But let's see. It has a Carfax. I just clicked on the Carfax, and you know what? I can pay for it. So I'm not going to do that. No. But anyway, no, I'm looking at this thing, and I'm thinking, I would drive that happily. Like, I still like that interior with all the buttons and stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, and I like those wheels. It's got the sort of multi-spoke wheels that came yep. on later Mark 7s, but before the basket weave. So the LSC yep. was the luxury sports coupe, I think is what that
probably,
as opposed to the cushy, like Bill Blass edition or whatever.
Yep.
And now this is like a really nice car.
It looks, you know, it doesn't have, it's got a little bit of a top stack, but it's not huge.
Yeah.
It actually makes a decent convertible. My only gripe about it is the exhaust is a little weird.
But it's, you know, you could put a Magnaflow on that in like 20 minutes at your local.
No, it's not a deal breaker if this is the car you want, but I mean it's neat.
I kind of want it.
I kind of do too. I would feel bad about driving it. Yep. So I wouldn't, like in the winter.
You can put it at your house in Boca.
I don't know. It's almost too nice for Boca. Yeah. Maybe my house in Grosse Pointe.
There you go. There you go.
No, I don't hate this at all.
So it's funny that you mentioned Catalinas, because one of the cars that's sitting here on my desktop right now to remember to either write about or talk about is a 71 Pontiac Grandville convertible.
Which I have come across a lot of those.
I do have a little history with the Grandville. My high school buddy, Nick, bought a cream Grandville. I think his was a 73, if memory doesn't elude me. It was the round headlight, but it was slightly later. This car's got the taller front and the big beak on it, the 71 that I'm looking at. And the this is an expensive one. They want $21,000 for this car. AC doesn't work, probably just needs a charge. This guy's take is, why fix it? Okay. All right. Well, at least you're there. But it's dark blue with sort of whitish, creamish interior. It's got the build card, whatever they called those on Pontiacs, and mm-hmm. it's got the original window sticker.
Nice.
And it's just like, yeah, I could drive this all day long. But what was cool about these cars, so the 73 that Nick had also had the 455 Oldsmobile engine, as this one does. And, you know, when you got on the four barrel, this thing developed torque.
Sure. Right?
I'm not going to say power, but it developed torque. And the first time I ever drove Nick's 73, we were on, I lived on a fairly quiet road in Stamford, Connecticut, sort of a windy, hilly road. And we get out on my road, and it was sort of like one of those words hanging in the air thing. Right. And I said, I'm going to see what it can do. And he could see my body motion as I'm getting ready to floor the thing. And he starts saying, no, in slow motion. And I floored the car, and I blew out both mufflers.
That's awesome.
Underneath the car. I don't think he ever made me pay for that, now that I'm thinking back on it, and I'm feeling a little bit bad, but yeah, it is what it is. But it just blew everything out. It sounded really cool after that, sort of like a, you know, a 54 Chris Craft,
right.
You know, but it was pretty cool.
Nice.
So yeah, no, it's funny that you mentioned the Catalina. Yeah, you'll find if you're listening to this that our taste complement each other a lot when we're talking and we're looking at these things, because we just, you know, we grew up, we share a brain, and you'll come to realize that when we're talking, when you're listening, you know, we've been finishing each other's sentences, as we said in the first podcast, since Jonathan was born. So anyway, you know, our automotive tastes usually tend to at least complement each other, although sometimes one of us goes down a really spooky rabbit hole.
But you know, for years, speaking of speaking of for years, yeah, mostly speaking of for years, because we can rationalize anything generally, I think that goes a fair bit to complementing each other, right? I mean, I can get to a headspace to rationalize pretty much anything at almost any time.
Yeah. I mean, there are times when you know, we'll say, what are you smoking? When the other one comes up with, what do you think of this?
Well, so actually, speaking of that, in the last podcast, assuming these are sequential, in an earlier podcast, you mentioned a Chrysler TC by Maserati. Mm, mm-hmm. And one just finished on Bring a Trailer for over $12,000. And I think it's the quote unquote, you, out there in podcast land, you can't see me, but I'm making air quotes to say the good one.
Like the one I found.
Let's go with that. It was a dark color that could have been black. It is a 5-speed with a Cosworth head. And the guy found the same article you did, because he goes into, you know, the crane cams and the Edelbrock and blah blah blah, and all the different suppliers to that engine. So yeah, that was funny. It was like 12 too, and I don't even remember how many miles it had on it.
Hold on. I have to pause us. My mother just texted me and says she has an interesting problem. She has a 3 to 4 foot snake in the doorway to the dining room.
What kind of snakes are there in Clifton, Virginia?
Well, there's good snakes and bad snakes.
Okay. Well, that is an answer.
You know, there's rat snakes and there's copperheads.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay. No, I mean, okay. That's a thing.
Do they have 24-hour animal control?
Maybe if you're not out in the woods.
Oh, great. My guide. Okay. Pass closes soon. So crisis averted.
Crisis averted. The
snake got chased out of the house by a crazy old woman, but that's a different podcast. Okay. Okay.
So I found that Catalina. It's actually out in Petaluma, California. So, you know, north of San Francisco. And yeah, I was just rereading the ad and no actual mention of it running, but it looks great. It's got 8-lug wheels. It's kind of this baby blue color. The top is junk.
Oh, what year is it?
68.
Ooh, that's a big car.
It is. It's got the, you know, the L-shaped taillights.
Yes. Yes.
So my crazy aunt, Auntie, you remember Auntie?
I do.
From Miami, she had like a 67, 68 Catalina four-door. And I'm wondering if it was actually a 68, because it looked just like this thing. And it was green on green. And I can still remember it had that 60s into the 70s GM vinyl smell. And it had a big old 400 in it, and she drove it like the grandmother she sort of kind of was. And I remember being down there, I was like 12 years old. And even then I'm like, you know, Auntie, if you beat on this thing a little bit, it'd probably be a heck of a lot happier. And she never did, but but I can still smell that car.
That's funny.
In a good way.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I was just looking to see if I could find any of the cars that my grandmother had that I remembered. And you know, cars that aren't available anymore. You know, 1980 Skylark. That's one of those that you don't come across very often. And of course, and she had in the Skylark, she had the clear plastic covers so that you didn't ruin the seats.
Right.
God forbid you sat on the seats.
Well, I was going to say, if that was in Texas, right?
Oh, yeah.
So those got all sorts of uncomfortable, I'd suspect.
Oh, yeah. You know, you're a little kid in shorts, right? Right. You sit in grandmother. We didn't call her grandma. You got in trouble if you called her grandma. You sat in grandmother's car and burned the absolute bejesus out of the back of your legs. Because, again, nobody ever sat on the upholstery. Why did it have upholstery? Why didn't they just get the vinyl?
Oh, that's a good point.
You know, questions for the ages that shall never be answered. But the other thing she had was a 71 Ford LTD. That was the car before the Skylark. Hmm. And damned if there isn't one in Phoenix, Arizona for $800. Now, unfortunately, it's not the same dark green that my grandmother's was, because hers was dark green on dark green because 1971.
Because apparently every car was.
Unfortunately, this one for your $800 has to be towed away. And it doesn't really say why, although the flat tire is part of the reason, I'm sure. The windows are partly down. This isn't, I am not this stupid.
I'm not that stupid, but I tell you, if I was out in Petaluma, I might go look at this thing. So it the guy shows it with the top up and down, so something works.
But at least you can you know, drag it up if nothing else, right?
Right. And I like Pontiacs of this era. Mm. You know, it says Catalina on individual letters on the front fenders.
Nice.
It's got the Pontiac symbol, the dagger thing.
Oh, not the Indian?
For the not the Indian, but it's got the
Native American.
It's got the dagger style rear side marker lights.
I remember those from our 69 Le Mans.
Yeah, this is, the interior's not terrible, but certainly not great. It appears to all be there. Column shift. It looks like it's got air conditioning. There's something under the dash that might have used to have been air conditioned.
Is there an engine photo?
There is. You can't. There's no AC stuff under the hood.
Oh, okay.
And actually, I don't think it ever had an AC box. There's something going on under the dash. The pictures aren't great.
Ah, okay.
But it's a, yeah, it appears to be a big block under the hood.
Well, that's, I mean, you know, that one of the cars that's been on my list forever, and I wrote about it years ago, although I wrote about a convertible, has been the 69 Le Mans. I'd love a convertible. I mean, even with the 350, I mean, you could get some more interesting motors, but you can also do some fun stuff with a small block Chevy. But I just, you know, that's one of those nostalgia's a funny thing cars. I have no idea if I would like it or hate it. I mean, in my house, we have a little bit of a thing about that era American cars because of my wife having been forced for a period of time to drive Big Rosie, the 74 Dodge Monaco, which I did use for that bachelor party that was a good old time where we got six guys across, eight, four front and rear. I took it out for a buddy's bachelor party. And
nice.
Yeah, that was, it sounded like a boat too. It had that same boat sound as the Granville, which of course it did because I mean, it's like the same car, but the Dodge Monaco was the Blues Brothers car.
Yeah.
This was the two door version in 1974 brownish, greenish, you know,
nice
hideousness that my father-in-law bought to tow a trailer. No AC, but it did have supplementary gauges so you could watch the water temperature because apparently that was a thing.
Well, that was a thing. I sent you this Catalina. Okay. I'm a little infatuated. I'm that stupid, but to a point, right? Like I'm stupid enough to be looking about it and obsessing about it. But yeah, it's probably about where that ends.
Yeah, but I mean, that's one of the things that where the brain diverges a little bit. You don't tend to be quite as dumb as me when it comes to just buying a dumb car because the mood strikes you. And it's not a cash wealth, you know, inequity thing. It's really more of a, you know, some people do dumber things than other people on the spur of the moment.
I think I'm more pragmatic about it because I am slightly limited by space and certainly by time and effort. And I know that sounds like a cop out, like, you know, oh, you're a middle-aged dad. You, of course you're throwing that out there, but it's, I don't know. I would say, you know, I've got a perfectly good car I could work on in my garage.
Oh yeah.
And it's already here. And, you know, I didn't really do anything on it today or last weekend or whenever.
And it's not in Petaluma.
It's not in Petaluma.
Although I'm looking at the Petaluma car and, you know.
Yeah, right.
I mean, there's nothing that a little coat of paint. I mean, and even that, I don't know. I might leave it, you know, sort of patinated the way it is because.
It doesn't look like it has any holes in it. Obviously, I'd want to see the floor and the trunk.
I mean, this car reeks of fear and loathing in Las Vegas.
Yeah, kind of a shabby version, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I mean, I do the interior. I do a seat kit for it.
Yeah.
I would clean the daylights out of it, and I'd throw a top at it. I'd clean up under the hood as necessary. The under the hood's kind of driver quality s.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not angry about it. I don't know anything about these 8-lug wheels though.
They were on a bunch of Pontiacs in this period, and I'm seeing the spares because the brakes are all integrated to the whole wheel.
Right. I think that's how they got bigger breaks on them.
Yeah. It's, I mean, you know, that's one of those things that if, you know, we were writing the article about it, we would go like Wikipedia and do the Google search. No. So we sound like we know what we're doing or talking about. But yeah, I mean, just reading the description, pair of extra 8-lug front wheels have rebuilt steel liners and new bearing. You know, the liners are the brakes. I mean, I'm looking at them.
Yeah, and I am too.
I'm not totally sure how you mount tires on those things, but whatever.
So if you look at the eight, so if you look at the two drums on the right, those are the rears.
Yeah.
Because that's where the axle would go through on that 5-bolt
Right,
pattern.
Right.
The wheels are special. It's more literally like an old split rim. It's a rim bolts to those 8 bolts.
I see it. I see what you're saying.
Like the inner part of the rim, if you will, think of it as a 2-piece rim, mm-hmm. and the rim or a 2-piece wheel, and the inner part of the wheel is the brake drum. That's how that works.
It's still cool. So does it?
That's neat.
Does it run? Okay, convertible motor retracts, but the top needs replacing. No smog required. Don't need help selling. It does not say car runs.
It does not. It very much does not. But you know, the thing is, it probably powers up because the top is shown up and down.
Yeah.
It's sitting level and there's air in the tires. Now, I'm not saying air in the tires is the end all be all of evidence that this car actually runs, but generally most of your lazy Craigslist sellers, like if it doesn't run, they're not pumping up the tires for the ad.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's a come tow it away. I don't care anyway.
Right. Right. And I mean, honestly, it's a 68 GM motor. Parts are available. It actually looks like it has a brand new fuel filter on it right in front of the air cleaner.
It does.
Somebody's got it running. I firmly believe I see no battery, but I don't know where the battery goes in this car.
I think it goes to the, I think it's up in the driver's side corner where you can't see it. Well, and I'm looking at like things that look like wires going over there, kind of underneath the top radiator hose.
Yeah.
So it's got power steering. It's got power brakes. Yeah,
it's got an alternator.
Does have an alternator.
It's got new wires.
Bright yellow wires. The radiator cap looks newer than everything around it.
Paint the valve covers and like you say, put a new top on it, put a seat kit just on the front seats even. I mean, the rears look good and they have that sort of whatever that fairing is in between the seats.
I feel like that was a speaker.
Yeah, probably.
I'd be wrong on that, but.
Yeah. I could be this stupid, but you'd have to leave it as is. And the beauty of a car like this in California is don't even put the top up, sort of like that BMW that you had.
That terrible BMW. Yeah, I'd like to see the floors and the trunk and anywhere else water can get. But I mean, based on the interior, I kind of feel like this car doesn't normally live outside.
Mm. Mm-hmm. The dash may be cracked, but it's also a 68, you know.
It's a 68 GM California car. Yeah. No, I'm not angry at this. I like this.
You know what I was looking at? I was looking at a 95 Miata.
And a chill filled the room. This is where I would normally say something annoying like, oh, were you looking at your 95 Miata? But I happen to know yours was a 94.
Is. Mine is a 94.
Is, sorry.
I have a 1994 Miata. It sounds like an Alcoholics Anonymous thing. You know, my name is Reed and I have a Miata. I do. I have a Miata. It was actually a Miata that we bought 2 years old in 1996 as our wedding car. I have photos to prove it.
I drove it.
You drove it. You made the sign to hang off the back that said just married.
I did.
It's still in my garage. And anyway, fast forward, we decided that as a newly married couple who lived in greater Washington, D.C., we decided to sell the Miata. My mother-in-law had been a convertible person. She actually owned a 62 Corvette for a while when she was in college. I mean, she's a car person. She still is, kind of. So she said, I'd like to have a Miata. And we said, great, we'd like to sell a Miata. So that, you know, the stars fell into alignment. Anyway, fast forward to 2017. And, you know, my in-laws had the car for a long time, took good care of it. It had a little bit of rocker rust that those cars develop when they live in New England and get driven at all. We got it taken care of professionally, cut out the metal and all that. Car's beautiful. Unfortunately, we didn't know that it was out of water. And she took it out and warped the head and upset the motor. And then we had a 1994 Mazda doorstop. And I've got a family friend that lives in the area that has a body shop, but also does some mechanical and restoration work. He had it towed to his place. And my mother-in-law said, you know, I don't really want to deal with fixing this. And we always said, that you guys could have it back, you know, down the road. Do you want it back? I said, oh, yeah, sure. I mean, it's a monster, right? I mean, how bad could it be? How expensive could it be?
How hard could it be?
Exactly. He said. to put a new 1.8 into it and call it a Miata again. And
sorry, just to be clear, you said that was in 2017?
Yeah.
Okay. Just, I'm not pouring salt in the wound.
You are.
But I'm holding the salt and I can see the wound from here.
You're dousing. Well, no, not yet. That's coming. Anyway, this is dragging on. The long and the short of it is that was 2017. And he took the motor apart to, you know, check it out and see if it indeed was toast. And the verdict was, yes, the motor is toast. And I asked the guy point blank. I said, listen, I mean, you know, it's a Mazda Miata. It's a 94. There's nothing special about it. It's not an M edition. It's not, you know, a leather package car. It's just a black on black Miata, honest little car. And I said, you know, what shape is it in? I hadn't laid eyes on it in a few years. When we were there, it was in the garage, not being driven. But the miles are reasonably low. I think it's right around 100. And with the work that had been done and the condition, you know, been garage the whole time they had it. He said it's in remarkable shape. I'd spend the money. Like, okay. And so I sourced a motor that had, you know, around 50,000 original miles, had it sent to him. And that's where it sits. You know, unfortunately, as a family friend, you know, he does this work for a living. And that's how he makes his money. And, you know, we will pay him to do the work, but it's not a priority. And admittedly, I made one of the cardinal mistakes of interacting with somebody that repairs your car and said originally, I'm not in a big hurry whenever you get to it.
Yeah. See, you know, but what's funny, not haha funny, but interesting funny about that is, so I worked at a shop for close to 5 years. And we would have people that would bring us cars in various states of disrepair. And they too would say, yeah, you know, I'm not in a rush for it back, but we'd still get it done. And really, we'd still get it done for two reasons. One, well, three reasons. One, space. Two, Bill and I didn't like pushing cars around because pushing cars sucks. And three, money.
Yeah. Well, I think that this car found a nice home in a corner of the garage that doesn't get a lot of traffic.
I would argue that.
And so anyway, we do check in about once every 4, 5, 6 months. Hey, how's the Miata? Oh, it's still here. Okay.
Still here.
You know, gonna get to it soon. And I get it. But at the same time, you know, what I tell people is I have a half a Miata. All that to say, what I find myself doing from time to time is looking at Miatas because they're damn fun little cars.
They are. As I've said multiple times, I would have another Miata in a minute. I don't want my Miata back, but I would have another Miata.
Yours was, it wasn't the best it could have been.
No. It, I mean, it had had a little bit of a hard life and, you know, after having the Prelude, which was like the Japanese car that wouldn't die, you know, it was the absolute reliable Japanese car. And we bought the Miata to replace it. And quite frankly, it wasn't. It just wasn't.
Yeah.
And I know that's an anomaly for those cars. And I don't hold all Miatas to that standard of, well, this car was a piece of crap. I think ours was challenged.
Yeah, I mean, the one I'm looking at right now is a 95 M edition, you know, the Merlot on tan that has the 1 year only seats in it.
Yeah, I like that.
With the headrest.
You know, I will always think of that. You know, I will always think of those headrests.
And I mean, it's a beautiful car. But, you know, at the end of the day, what I really want is I want mine back because, I mean, we do have that connection. It's got family history in it. And, you know, there are very few cars in my life I can't sell, but that's one of them.
See, and this makes me wonder if you should ever get that car back because it's going to be there for the duration.
Also, for those that can't see, I'm making obscene finger gestures at my partner.
But no, really, I mean, you know, you do have a habit of selling cars on a whim. And if that car is around, you know, you can't sell that one. We started the other day to talk about cars that you want back, right? Like the exact car, not an example of that car. And then that is a good one for you because Yeah, you guys should have that car.
And we might. I was going to say will, but you know, 2017, yeah. Folks.
Well, I was going to say let's not be hasty.
We'll check in on this again in a year and see what the latest is.
Right, we'll set a calendar reminder.
You know, another one that I'm looking at that is sort of one of those. I liked it, but we didn't have the example that I really wanted. I still like a pop-up headlight Accord. Mm. My wife's first new car was an 89 Accord LX sedan, and it was the burgundy with the burgundy interior, but it was the LX, so it was not the injected model, and it was a little bit on the slow side. And just poking around tonight, I found a 89 LXI that's sort of that rose gold color with the same burgundy interior that she had in a 5-speed. It's the 2-door LXI, but not the hatchback.
Nice.
The notchback. And it's still a good-looking car. And you know, those were the Hondas from, you know, the old, you know, the car that sells itself campaign. Yep. And I still look at this as, and it looks like a modern car to me.
Yep. Yeah, no. You know what I've started to see in the States, and you don't see a lot of them, but they're appearing.
Aerodecks.
Pop-up headlight Aerodecks. I remember going to Holland, God, when I was like, I don't know, 14, and, you know, cars that did not exist at all. Mm. We had never heard of, but they were still left-hand drive. So ostensibly, like, they could be U.S. cars if you wanted them to be, but yeah. I remember Aerodecks.
Those were neat cars. This one, so this guy says it's got 200,000 miles. The underhood is insanely clean. It's on Facebook Marketplace, which we haven't done any writing about that. I don't know if we will. We have to sort of look at it. You know, Facebook's one of those things. You know, if you don't have a Facebook account, you can't see the ads, I don't think. But this is a remarkable example of a 200,000 mile Japanese car. Now it's in Ohio. Okay. I was gonna say California, something like that.
That's dangerously close.
Yeah. $39.95. You know, if my kid needed a car, I'd buy it tomorrow, except she still doesn't drive stick. This would be a good car to learn on.
Well, I was gonna say that's a good car to learn on.
So I just floated that to you just so you can commiserate with me.
All right.
I mean, you know, it's got a dash cover on it. It doesn't say why. I mean, I'm guessing because it has a bra too. If you're going to put, you know, one of these cloth carpety looking dash covers on a car though, at least do it in the same color as the dash. So this car, you know, these cars had interior color dashes, and I am a fan of the black dashboard and a color interior, but this car in its Honda burgundiness, they put, I can't tell if it's dark blue, dark gray or black, but it looks dumb. But you have to look at the motor on this car.
All right, I'm working on it.
And it still has the stock stereo. Yeah, no, I, you know, $4,000, I'd buy this for my kid all day long. And this, you know, with the injected motor, these cars could get out of their own way. Okay. Now here's the other thing that's sort of the plot thickens on this car. So it has California plates on it. It's in Milford, Ohio, and it has California plates on it. So did you just buy this and change your mind because of a reason that you haven't disclosed? Did you just move from California to Milford, Ohio? Inquiring minds want to know.
How do you get rid of new Facebook?
I don't know. I'm just looking at the same Facebook I've always looked at. I don't know what the hell you're doing.
Okay, so a blonde LXI. That's kind of nice.
The motor is the piece de resistance. Yeah.
No, I like this. You know, one thing, and let's see, can I look at I can't see a bigger picture. You know, on my Prelude, and probably on your Prelude, the black strip underneath the taillights always rusted, and you'd take it off and you'd sand it down and you'd repaint it and it would do it again in a year. And this one looks nice.
Yeah. But like the valve covers, I see one little paint chip on the valve cover. All the CAD plating looks good.
Oh my God.
It's clean, but right?
Jesus.
You just got to the engine.
That's,
and it looks brand new. No rust on the manifold, you know.
Yeah,
shield.
It was just, geez, look at that.
200,000 miles on this car. Yeah, I'm not done.
I am totally that stupid. I mean, look at all the control.
Hence the name of the blog.
Right. I mean, look at the controls in the cabin. There's no wear. You know, the markings, the, you know, stock deck.
The seats look well bolstered still. It's got factory floor mats in it that are still, you know, more or less the right color.
Yeah, it's got the wrong exhaust. It should have the twin pipes, I think.
It's a big chrome thing. Not a huge chrome thing, but it's a slightly large chrome thing. Mm. It's got the books and some records.
I mean, look at the dead pedal. There's a dashboard shot where you can see through the lower.
Oh yeah.
The lower part of the steering wheel. That's awesome.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is a great car, and you know, it's probably worth every bit of $39.95.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not angry at that.
No, this is a nice car. If you know, if I sort of get my head around doing Facebook classified write-ups, this is one that I would write about, or I might go see if they've got it posted anyplace else, because they got some nice pictures of it. Yeah, so this one, this was on my list, and the other one that I had in today's sort of pile of dumb things that just cars that this is more the cars I've always wanted to try, but I'm not quite brave enough to do. And there is a 1969 Volvo 164 in Warminster, Pennsylvania. Yes, Pennsylvania, for $6,000. It's a manual transmission. It's got the old school dashboard, you know, with the ribbon speedometer. Mm-hmm. The seats are a little bit special, patinated. But when one of these, what?
That's going to be our new word.
Yeah, but the body looks remarkable. It's that dark green color, like about three quarters of these cars were, I think. Mm-hmm. And the body looks very sharp. The upholstery could use a little bit of help, but it looks like a pretty honest car. You know, it's got the twin carbs on it, no AC. They don't say very much about it. Just 6-cylinder, 4-speed, dual carbs, runs and drives excellent for $6,000. And that is, you know, it's a classic car for $6,000 that sort of bridges that gap between way old and more modern, because it's the same basic body as my daughter's Volvo 240 that's sitting in front of my house right now.
Nice.
But it's got the round headlights with the tall grill. When I was in elementary school, my friend's parents had one of these. I think it was the same exterior color. Slightly newer model that had sort of the more padded dash with the round gauges and all that. And that car smelled really good and had like Rolls-Royce Connolly leather in it. It was really like that was a luxury car. And I'm sure this was a luxury car back in the day with that like, you know, Swedish weirdness to it.
Mm-hmm. Our buddy Scott had a 164, you know, 100 years ago. And whenever he would mention his 164, I never thought Volvo. I always thought Alfa. I always had to catch myself. But he loved that car. He's still a big fan. I think those are mostly harmless classics. Like if you get a semi decent one, I think they're just Volvos.
Yeah, and I mean they're remarkably simple. I mean, you know, other than the ridiculous place they put the oil filter on the 240s, and no, I'm not bitter. I just changed the oil yesterday. And I'm angry about it, but other than that, I mean, you know, they're very simple cars, but functional. I mean, they just work. Mm-hmm. And you know, with the 6-cylinder, I mean, yeah, it's a 69 164. So, I mean, it's not going to be a rocket ship, but it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be a dog either. It'll have some go. Mm-hmm.
So I'm on the proverbial new Facebook marketplace and I looked up BMW Bavaria, and there's one in Chicago and there's one in Huntington, Indiana. Because actually, okay, so I will say this is a positive thing. When you're searching the search radius from your hometown, you can go up to 500 miles now in marketplace. It used to only be 100 miles.
I did notice it was telling me that I was looking at cars far away and I kind of wanted to beat it.
All right, so let me look at this.
All that means is it's tracking where I am.
Well, yeah, this is a nice Volvo. I just don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, going back to the one brain thing, we occasionally diverge. I mean, I get it. It's a cool car, but
I think, you know, for me, the Volvo 164 is a car that I would play with for a few months, and I'd lose interest fairly quickly because it would be like scratching an itch. It's like, ooh, I always wanted one of these. Now I've had one.
Nah, yeah.
I mean, and you know, that's part of my thing is I'm on this undocumented quest to own one of, you know, every car that I ever found even remotely interesting, or even some cars that I never did find interesting, but I want to drive for a little while. Right. I don't know. I'm thinking that that we might want to tie this one up and put a bow on it and see if our producer can make it worth listening to.
All the pieces. That's probably a fine idea.
And perhaps, you know, people have learned something too, even though we did edit out a lot of the what to do if you have a snake in your dining room at 9:32 in the evening. You know, now we know that there are 24-hour wildlife removal companies.
Indeed.
So, you know, let that be your lesson for the day. And check back with us once in a while.
Yeah. We'll probably do some more of these when we get to it, I guess.
When the mood strikes.
That's right. All right. We'll talk at you people later.
Take it easy.